Now, does this ever happen to you? I find that some television performance have the same power over me as a Medusa. However much they horrify me, once I actually look at them, I'm turned to stone and find I can't turn the switch off. Cilla Black, Jimmy Hill, they have the power, and Chris Evans too. Gorgons, every one of them. Now, Evans is a media phenomenon, inventive, populist, anarchic, a sort of 90s version of Kenny Everett, but without the quiet good taste. 6 million listen to his Radio 1 show every week, which is why he was hired. This week he met his nemesis. No one was very surprised. It was that kind of show.
What?
He's not my boyfriend.
But you have slept with him. No, you have slept with him, because the last 2 days she's admitted that she snogged him, but she denied on her mother's life, that she slept with him.
97 to 99 FM, Radio 1, Newsbeat.
It's just been announced that Chris Evans is leaving Radio 1.
Chris, why did you leave the show?
Did you plan to leave the show?
Chris, did you plan to leave the show? Chris?
Chris approached me and asked if he could have every Friday off from the show because he was finding it stressful doing both that show and TFI Friday on the TV. And I felt that it wouldn't be in the best interest of Radio 1 to have a breakfast show that was only on Monday to Thursday. So I said no. And Chris exercised his right under his contract to give notice to us. So he'll be leaving at Easter.
Good morning and welcome to the world-famous Radio 1 breakfast show. And hey, enjoy it while it lasts, people.
Please release me.
I've got to tell you the truth behind the story. This is absolutely how it is, OK? In the middle of last summer, I asked for Fridays off because we've got to do the TV show. So I said, please, can I have Fridays off? Let somebody else do the show. In America, it's common practice. You get a weekend breakfast show, does Friday, the DJ does Friday, Saturday and Sunday. That's all I wanted. Said I couldn't have it. So I said, OK, whatever, I'll carry on. Gave us a couple of extra weeks off instead. So I said, no, it's all right. November went back, asked for the same deal. No. We'll give you more weeks off next year. All right, I'll have more weeks off, so I get 12 weeks off this year. Over Christmas, I have a great time. We do one TV show without having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm thinking I'm going to ask again. So I ask again, and it's still no. So Monday to Thursday, we wanted to be here. Apparently that's not good enough, so we've got to go.
Oh, hello. Hello, welcome to the show. What? It's my new full-time TV guy, look, because I don't know if you know, now I'm just a TV guy, that's all I am now, just TV, OK? I'm involved in no other media, I'm just TV, I'm happy.
So who is this man, and what does his departure mean for Radio 1? I'm joined by Stephen Armstrong, a freelance journalist and an expert in this genre, and Tim Blackmore, formerly with Radio 1 himself, who runs the biggest independent radio production house in the country. Tim, Chris Evans is a sort of media jam pot attracting viewers like flies, but how important is he?
Well, his important is probably, at the end of the day, transient. We've had presenters of breakfast shows with very, very high profiles, with incredible creativity, which are the factors that it's alleged Chris Evans has. I remember the gnashing of teeth when Noel Edmonds left the Radio 1 breakfast show. Everybody wondered, how will he be replaced? How will they cope? And I suspect the same thing going through some people's heads now. But in a year's time, he will have been replaced, not by anybody like him, I imagine, but he'll have been replaced, if not forgotten, at least of much less significance to the network.
Stephen, are we talking about broadcasting with the short attention span? I mean, I find Chris like a Christmas cracker, exciting at the time, just can't remember a thing about it half an hour later.
I think that's probably true, but I don't think that's anything particularly new in sort of the genre of light entertainment in which he operates. If you look back across those names, someone like Cilla Black, I don't think that you'd think that Cilla Black is a particularly highbrow or weighty sort of alternative throughout the history of British television.
She's still a reassuring figure.
Except
that I can't turn off the seven.
But throughout British TV history, there have been these people who can work the medium very well, and there's not that many of them who can work TV. No, not that many British people who can work TV as well as someone like Evans has done. The Americans are very good at it, but we're not very easy with the camera.
The BBC had to reassert the proposition, did it not, that no one person is bigger than the network? I mean, they were doing themselves a favour in this.
That's what it looks like. Of course, we don't necessarily know what the truth is behind the scene. I mean, when Chris signed for Radio 1, it was for 1 year, and he couldn't possibly do a second year. He's now done a second year. Who knows, maybe he never intended to do a third year anyway, and all this is cover just to get even more publicity for the network.
But, I mean, the BBC left itself open to this nonsense, Stephen, did it not, by trying to compete with the commercial stations for audience figures and a new identity. I mean, it left itself open to some monster being created themselves, which takes over their lives.
I think what's interesting is the way we're talking about this now, it's clear that we've forgotten what the situation was at Radio 1 when Chris Evans joined. And then you had a station which was... there was a bunker mentality there. The audience figures were in free fall. All of the tinkering that Matthew Bannister was doing elsewhere in the schedule wasn't paying dividends. All the DJs who'd left were making a great big fuss outside, and he desperately needed someone like Evans to come along. At that point, if he hadn't had Evans, I don't know what would have happened to Radio 1. Now I think you're seeing a more confident Bannister, a Bannister obviously who's been promoted, but also a Bannister who believes, I think, that the station can hold out now. He's got stronger DJs throughout the day.
And also, if you look at the audience figures, 1 year into Chris Evans' arrival in the Radio 1 breakfast show, he'd put 500,000 on for the peak half hour. If you look at the figures now, it's starting to decline again. So maybe the impact of Evans, maybe it has served his purpose. He's attracted a lot of attention to the network. He's brought a few listeners back after the big decline. Maybe his work is done.
Where does Chris Evans rate in the pantheon of former DJs who thought they were indispensable?
He's probably right alongside most of them, probably end up with quite a nice sort of Saturday
Simon
television
D
career.
Of the 90s.
Yes, I think in terms of the Simon D comparison, they're very different kinds of characters, but what Simon D certainly demonstrates is that celebrity is a very transient thing. Simon D was a representative of radio in the 60s. And it's almost 25 years since he last appeared on a major radio show.
I mean, let's be slightly snobbish about this, because we have to look down on someone, God knows. Is there a knock-on effect for other networks, or can we sit back at Radio 4 or Radio 2 and observe with wry amusement?
I think in marketing terms, if you take your largest selling product and you find it dipping, it's never any good for the company, is it? If Unilever don't want the sales of... Are they Persil or Ariel? Sales of Persil to go down, because it's just not good business overall.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think the more interesting thing, rather than you asking about the impact on the other networks, the more interesting thing is how the commercial stations will react. Because
how will they react?
Well, my understanding is that over the last few days, there have been quite a lot of more relaxed moods on radio stations. Certainly two or three people have made that comment to me, that at least the person who dragged most attention to that particular radio station is going. It will be a lot easier for those stations, therefore, to succeed, because what you need to remember is that in the popular end of music radio, the competition is all about how you promote yourselves rather than about your editorial content.
Now, there's talk about who will succeed, and Mark Ratcliffe, I understand, is in the frame. Does that mean that the show could be done from outside London, from Manchester, for example?
I don't think Ratcliffe would come down to London. I think that's something he's always made clear. No matter what happens, he's staying in Manchester. He has a fierce regional pride.
The only radio programmes that have to be done in London, in my view, are those where you need discussions with people actually being able to have eye-to-eye contact while they talk. Therefore, a breakfast show could, in my view, be done from anywhere in the country.
Great fun to see the pluggers have to make their way up to Manchester every morning to desperately try and persuade Ratcliffe to play the next Oasis single.
And who's your tip?
I think Ratcliffe has quite a good chance. I think that he was being groomed every time Evans was away. But initially, when Evans was away, they'd put different DJs on one after another, and then Ratcliffe was clearly sort of put into gear. I think Bannister probably anticipated trouble with Evans and started to prepare Ratcliffe for it.
I'm going to be cynical. I'm a great fan of Mark Ratcliffe in the kind of slot he has been in, and I think he would work in drive time. I don't think that he would deliver enough, as we say colloquially, bums on seats for a breakfast show.
I can't resist the notion, which incidentally was propounded in the Telegraph on Saturday, that the natural successor to Evans is another ridiculous figure with a superego and a big mouth. Yes, of course, it's Nicola Horlick, Superwoman herself. Thank you, Stephen Armstrong and Tim Blackmore.